Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to see you today. Glad that we are able to meet. There was a point in time where I kind of wondered if we would still be iced in during the day, but I'm glad we're not. And most are able to get here. Some still are iced in, and I know that are not here. But glad that you are here. Glad to be together. Last Sunday, I started a series of lessons on the Lord's Supper, different aspects of that, trying to answer some questions and things of that nature. You know, I'm going to skip that today and hold that to next week when maybe some others might be here and do another lesson. I wasn't sure exactly what we were going to do. I came prepared today with a class and two sermons. You know, my gun was full. But only going to do one sermon today. And this is going to take us back to Genesis chapter 6. Part of our reading here this last week, and I kind of struggled some during the week thinking about, here we are reading through Genesis 6 through 9 and about Noah, and I thought, well, like, I mean, how many lessons have we all heard on Noah? And I was kind of perplexed and a little bit sad thinking, like, well, what am I going to do with this? And finally I got thinking about something that, again, won't be anything new, but maybe something helpful. Saving your household. That's the title of the lesson. I really know nothing that would be more important to a father than the idea of saving his household. And how do you do that? I mean, we live in a time and in a world where it is seemingly so difficult to have people interested in spiritual things. And even in our own homes, sometimes this is a challenge, because even as has been alluded to this morning in other comments, there are so many forces working against us, it seems, and the forces of evil that take us and take our families away, take their eyes off of God. Well, we're not alone in having to face those times. What about Noah? If we want to talk about a time where all was evil and there was pressure on the family to ignore God or to not see God, certainly Noah lived in those times. And yet there was success in the influence that he had with his family. Here's an example of leadership in the home. We're looking at Genesis chapter 6, and in verse 3, the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever. For he is mortal, his days will be 120 years." We know something about the timeline of man. And God's view of some things is that God spoke to Noah about these things. And he continues in verse 5 by saying, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them.'" You have to let that sink in just a little bit. Oh, I know, we've read it a lot of times. But that gives to us a description of just what Noah was facing in his day and the influence that was on him, on his family, his wife, his children, and God's view of all of this disappointment. God is looking at the world and at His creation as His family, as His children. And imagine the disappointment that He has. And yet there's one that stands out. Verse 8, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Here's the standout. Here's the one who is different. Noah stood out in such an exceptional way when you consider all that was around, when you consider what God could see of the world of His creation. If we could have used as a figure of speech, if we could see that there was one, if there was one candle that was lit in all the world, that was Noah. And he stood out in an exceptional way in the eyes of God. But I think not just in the eyes of God. What about those closest to him? His family. The fact that Noah walked with God was not something that only God could see, but his family could see that too. He was an example of leadership in the home. And so we think about his influence in the home, which becomes more evident as the story goes on. We think about what his family saw in the life of Noah. His devotion to God would be something that would be unquestioned. Because here, you know, his devotion to God would be something that for a long period of time, for 120 years, would be questioned by the whole world, those who knew Noah. Because Noah became that preacher of righteousness, trying to lead and direct people to the way and the will of God. And everybody turned from him. But his family heard the message too. Imagine how many times his family heard the message of Noah's preaching over and again. God gave instructions to Noah. Verse 14. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long and 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower and middle and upper decks. Here's the instructions that God made. Can you imagine being the receiver of those instructions? And how overwhelming that had to have seemed. To build what? Of what size? And how we are to do that? Can you imagine that? And yet there's not any questions from Noah that we know. But a willingness, though, to just do what God has said. I mean, Noah probably could not have even believed his ears, but he did what God said, and he filled it with animals of every kind, just as God required. And as it may have sounded so incredible to Noah, nonetheless, he did what God said. And you can't help but wonder what the world was thinking. Noah, what are you doing over there? Noah, are you still working on that? Noah, haven't you given up on this crazy idea? And Noah's saying, no, let me tell you what God said, which he must have said a million times. As he recounted again, time and again, the God who is the maker and creator of all things, who has now promised that he's going to destroy the world. But Noah did just as God said. Verse 22 says that he did everything just as God commanded. Can we think again the point about his leadership in the home and what his family saw? This dedication to Jehovah God that was unwavering in face of obstacles and those who surely ridiculed Noah, what he was doing, the things that he said, Noah continued on doing just as God said. And you think for a moment, what did the world think of that? But what did his family think? Were there times that they wondered? Were there times that they doubted what Noah was doing and what he was saying? But he continued on. And in the process, as we've said already, Noah preached. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5 calls him that preacher of righteousness. He continued to preach. He was someone said, I thought this was cute, someone said that he was the deliverer of the longest sermon ever preached. I do not hold that record, regardless of what you think. Noah preached and he preached and he preached for 120 years. And without doubt, he tried to persuade people to repent. And certainly he preached by his example. It was not just in the words that he spoke, but it was his dedication to do what God said. And that was evident. It's a reminder, perhaps, to us all that our dedication to the Lord is not something that's just spoken. It's not just the words that we speak to others, our teaching, but it's the lives that we lead. It's the way we live that becomes at times perhaps our greatest opportunity of influence. And Noah's family saw that year after year. And I'm reminded that sometimes in the home, our greatest teaching opportunity in the home comes by our example and our consistency in living a godly life, doing and obeying the things that God would have us do. And when there are times that the world would be against us, when there are times that the world would ridicule us because of our faith and our devotion to the Lord, our family will see that too and how we respond to that. But they need to see our concern to do just as God would have us do. And how effective was Noah's example? Well, there were many who did not listen. There were many who walked away. But there were seven who heeded Noah's word. There were eight people saved, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, saved from the destruction of the flood. Noah's family was saved. You know, we are reminded in Hebrews chapter 11, you might turn there, hold your finger where we're at, but look at Hebrews chapter 11. The faith of Noah is something that's called to our attention here. In a very simple way, just in one verse. But it says a lot to us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. You think about these observations, that Noah was warned by God. It speaks of an authoritative statement from God, that God gave a warning that Noah received. When God spoke, it meant something to Noah. He responded to that. He obeyed. And it says volumes about Noah that he received that warning from God, because everyone else in the world did not. It says of Noah that he was warned by God about things not yet seen. The idea of the flood. Here's a thought that just amazes me. The idea of the flood. Noah being told there's going to be a flood. Noah having to say, what's a flood? It is something that would have yet been unknown. I don't know that it had rained. And yet there was a great flood that was coming. Noah believed that because God said so. God was the one talking about a flood, and by faith, Noah's response was based on what God said by faith. And he was moved with godly fear. It introduces the idea of reverence, the awe that he held for God. That when God spoke, there was not a question in the mind of Noah that he was going to obey. He did not complain. He did not waver. He obeyed the Lord out of that fear and respect. And his family saw that. All of these things his family saw, and it had an influence. And these things were done, as the text would say, for the saving of his family. His obedience resulted not only in his own salvation, but his godliness affected those closest to him, his family, to their salvation. And Noah led his family to follow and to obey what God said. You can't drive people to God. As much as we might want to at times, you wish you could just kind of herd people in the doors sometimes so maybe they will come and be a part of worship and listen to a lesson from God's Word. You'd like to drive people to God, but it doesn't work that way. I mean, it's the reason why in Scripture, time and again, we have the metaphor of a shepherd and sheep that are being led. And it was like Noah was that shepherd to his family.
and He led them to salvation. Because they were willing to follow His example. They were willing to follow the words that He was speaking on God's behalf. Noah obeyed not only because God commanded him so, but so he could save his family. He was an example of leadership in the home. Now let's think a little bit more directly about what Noah's children saw their father do. Well, they saw Noah live a godly life. And he did so in an ungodly world. When every influence around, not only them, but around their father was ungodly, Noah was the one that stood out. And God said that his patience with man's ungodliness was running out. He saw man's wickedness seemingly had no end, and God was going to do something about that. And we think about back in our text in chapter 6 of Genesis, we think about some words of emphasis that we read concerning man's actions. Every, only, continually. They were devoted to wickedness. And yet words pertaining to Noah, that Noah found grace, that he was a just man, that he was perfect, that he walked with God. And it's not hard for us to be able to see the difference in the two. And for his family to see the difference in the two. Noah's sons saw their father live in a world of immorality and sexual perversion and violence and pleasure and entertainment. And yet their father was one who was living a godly life. And it stood out. You talk about standing out. That had to have stood out. And he was an example of leadership in that way, in the home. Our text in Hebrews 11 says that Noah condemned the world. Well, how so? Did Noah stand up and make judgment on the world? Well, I don't think that's the idea of that. Noah wasn't in the place of judgment in that way. But it means that Noah's righteous life became the standard. It was God's standard because he was living the way God wanted him to live. And Noah's righteous life would condemn those who were living in ungodliness. And Noah's family saw that. And they saw Noah listen to God's warning and obey his exact commands. I can only imagine this had to stand out in the lives of his family, that they saw that. God said to Noah that his patience with man was running out. He was going to destroy the world with a flood. He told Noah what he needed to do in order to be saved. When the flood was over, when the world was changed, Noah still had not tired in his service and devotion to God. But it says that Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. They saw Noah worship God and the humility of that. His submissiveness to God continued. And Noah showed God his thankfulness by building that altar, offering the sacrifices. And Noah recognized that it was only through God's deliverance that he and his family were saved. And so what do our children see in us and our grandchildren? What is the influence that we have with them? What are we teaching them? Not just in words, but in what we do, how we live, the example that we set. So I thought this week there are these lessons as well that can be learned from Noah. A reminder of the leader he was in his home, the example that he was, what Noah's children saw in him. I thought maybe there's some ideas there
that we need to think about. Thank you for listening. We are going to sing a song as we close the service. That is a song to make us think, inspire us, those who need to respond to the gospel in any way, those who are thinking about and needing to make a choice, a decision about following Jesus. Why would you wait any longer? With the opportunity being given today even to respond, would you come as we stand and sing?